Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
We are two-thirds of the way through The Outskirter's Secret. So we've read up to chapter 34. Mm-hmm. Starting to learn more. What I'm assuming is going to be a very short warm-up for you today, Dan.
Okay.
And I think that this is going to be just like, anytime one of us goes to the movies, we're just going to tell the other one about it.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because I went to the movies on Friday.
Wow. Did you get some popcorn? Did you get a nice crispy Coke?
I got some popcorn. I got Dr. Pepper this time.
Oh, actually. I love a Dr. P.
Love Doc P. And I saw Beetlejuice.
Ah, I've been meaning to go see Beetlejuice.
And I got to tell you, very good.
Okay. See, I was honestly concerned.
Honestly, like 11 out of 10 would recommend.
Wow. Okay.
I think that people are saying good things about it. I haven't really read any reviews.
Yeah.
So apologies if I say the same thing as other people are saying.
Well.
But it's not very long.
Hmm. Okay.
Like, I feel like a lot of time movies are, it's like a very convoluted plot and it's like 2.5 hours long, mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. This one's like a tight 90.
Ooh, okay. Tight hour and a half?
A tight hour and a half. Very chaotic, very funny.
Uh-huh.
I know I have seen the like older Beetlejuice, but it was long ago enough that I don't remember anything.
Uh-huh.
And so like I don't think you need to see the first one to appreciate it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was great. It was a blast.
It was a delight, says Luke.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How did is Beetlejuice in it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. So the character comes off well, because Michael Keaton's he's been through a lot since that first one came out. I'll say that.
Right. I mean it works fine.
Okay, yeah. I love it.
Was the original one Michael Keaton too?
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy.
And I think the original, like, he crushes it. He like makes that character, like that character makes the original movie, because he.
Yeah.
Absolutely crushes it and stomps on it on the ground. He just destroys that role. And to hear that he's still got it. Okay. All right.
He's still got it. Again, I don't remember the first one. I'm assuming that they lean into like the older part of it, because he, like, I don't know, Beetlejuice is like old and sloppy kind of in this movie.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
I forget if he's that way in the first one or not.
He's pretty sloppy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, go on and see it. It's a blast.
We were not sponsored, by the way. Not sponsored by Beetlejuice, but it sounds like we'd love sponsored. To be.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
So get at us, Michael.
We've already said it three times, I think, so we should get something for that.
I think they'll show up. I think that means they're going to show up.
Right. Soon. So, if we get cut off in the middle of this episode, it's probably... It's Beetlejuice is here.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In the best way, I think. Yeah. Hopefully they'll take over.
That's all I really have, though. Like, it's just a fun movie.
Okay. All right, Luke. Love it. Love to hear it. Especially considering, like, I don't normally like a lot of sequels, but I think I would go see this one. Did not see the new Deadpool movie. But maybe I'll go see the new Beetlejuice.
Okay. Maybe you go see the new Beetlejuice and I'll finally see Alien.
Yeah. And Alien and Rhombus. Even. It's all about shapes.
Right. Okay. Very good. All right. Let's talk book. Like I said, up to chapter 34.
Luke, can I come in hot with a theory?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Always.
Luke, I think I know what the deal is with the guide stars.
Okay.
So, Luke, the weather's been acting crazy recently, right?
Yes.
And like way crazier than it normally does on these 20-year cycles, right?
Well, yeah. So normally every 20 years you have a crazy weather pattern. But yeah. Now it seems to be happening off, like not the every 20 years, but maybe more frequently, I guess.
Every 20 years like clockwork, right? Every 20 years like someone is changing it. Like someone is responsible for those strange weather patterns exactly every 20 years. Every 20 years, like maybe there is some technology that is controlling the weather.
Well, you mean magic.
Yeah, sure. Magic. And maybe, Luke, just maybe, the fact that one of these guide stars fell, there's been a lack of control. And this is how... Luke, are these weather-controlling satellites that one of them fell?
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with you that it's for sure connected.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, the timeline matches up as well.
Right.
I was wondering, like, I wasn't necessarily thinking weather control patterns, but I was thinking, like, it affects the weather.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In some way.
I guess it just feels odd to me that it's on these, like, 20-year cycles and that... The whole, like, Outskirters thing is weird because the region for the Outskirters has been moving over time.
Right.
And then there's all this stuff about, like, what's happening when they kill the grass? Like, why are they just killing the grass and moving on? Like, what's going on with that? And to me, it's giving, like, centralized government... like population control vibes. Like it's giving okay. Because so they're claiming that the wizards aren't affecting them and they're like, oh yeah, we're beyond the wizards' control. I think they're being a little bit too I don't think that's true. especially considering they have this like rendezvous that they take place in every 20 years. And what happens at the rendezvous? A lot more kids. They make a lot more children. And so if you're like calculating outskirter populations and like herding migration movements and you're controlling them with the weather, like, I feel like there is some wizard control going on here with the outskirters. Like there is a hand that is guiding these like tribes moving around. And maybe this is me coming from like, thinking about the Foundation series where you have, you know, individuals being controlled or like the Hitchhiker's Guide series where people think that they're doing stuff, but they're actually like just responding to little pressures. I'm putting my tinfoil hat here. I think the wizards are controlling the weather with satellites and... Okay. They're using it to control outskirter movement and population.
I mean, it seems reasonable. Yeah, certainly. Because there's the outskirters thing is weird, and bragging that you're beyond the wizards seems incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a little bit of an ironic setup for that,
right?
As well,
right? Especially when Rowan gets there and is like. Hey, there's this big sign on this piece of metal that says weather module or like cloud seeding module or something. Huh.
Right. That's coming. That's coming for sure. Okay.
That's the theory.
I think I'm there with you. I'm definitely there with like they're affecting the weather. I'm not 100% sure if it's like directly controlling it or if it's...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, something else. Okay. So as I was reading more of this section, I wrote notes down that were then like answered later on.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to a couple of those. But first I just want to say I want to make fun of Rowan for something.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of this section, the outskirters like ask her what a steerswoman basically is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she starts explaining it. And then there's like a little bit of like, they try to get kind of deep at one point. And one thing that Rowan says is she's like, I was realizing that everything a steer's woman is could be boiled down to one sentence, and it's actually very simple. And the sentence is basically, the steer's women are actually trying to answer only three questions. What, how, and why?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? That's not helpful at all.
No.
First of all.
Yeah, go off.
You're throwing out when?
Correct.
And who? Yeah, this...
And where? Their whole deal is fucking maps.
I know. It's first of all, it's very it's an incorrect statement.
Yes, yes, yes.
And also, even beyond it being incorrect, it's not meaningful in any way, because it's like, okay, so you're like trying to find information.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. Why would you phrase it this way? This is stupid.
Especially considering that I think Fletcher does a much better job of identifying what their job is to the scouts when he's like, actually, she is a scout.
Yeah.
Here's why. She does all the things scouts do. That's what she is. I think he's so right. I think it's like, yeah, that is a way better way of describing it than being like, oh yeah, we're actually just interested in the big questions. You know, what, why, and how. Those are the ones that I'm interested in. It makes her sound so much... I don't know. I don't love it.
It's very pretentious in my mind.
It's so pretentious, yeah.
If someone said this to me, I'd be like, oh, that's... You're an idiot. Because that's... You could say that about anyone.
You know, people who are earning a PhD are really just interested in what, how, and why, you know? We're just answering those questions. So...
That's right. I don't know. That one just... That one made me mad. Sometimes Rowan bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. But then, you know, she is a person who craves others asking her knowledge. Like, she's a person who is so hungry for people to ask her questions that she gets angry when she has to pretend like she can't answer their questions.
Right, right. So. And I will say also, we learned that Rowan is like only 24 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is fairly, it's pretty young.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got a lot to learn. She's still developing.
Yeah.
Speaking of still developing, I think it's hilarious that when Fletcher joins the Outskirters, they're like, oh yeah, this is a child. I've seen children before. This is one of them. And he's like fully an adult. He's like fully in his like late teens, early 20s from what I can tell.
Right.
Does he sleep with the kids? Do they give him little birthday parties that are like, all right, we're going to get, here's your toys and your candles and your birthday cake? How far do they take this where they're like, oh yeah, this is a child. This is a human child.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So to back it up, the idea, right, is that in Outskirters culture, you're a child until you go on walkabout.
Yes.
And obviously Fletcher has not gone on walkabout, therefore he is a child.
Correct. He does eventually go on walkabout, but until that point, he is a child.
Right.
Do they make him go to school? Is this like a Billy, what is that, Billy Madison? What was that Adam Sandler movie where he's he's like in kindergarten?
I hope so. I feel like they have to, actually, because, like, he does have to learn all of the things.
But do you think they're, like, actually, that's true, because they don't actually... I was thinking, are they teaching him, like, his words and his letters and stuff? But then I realized, no, because they don't know them.
Right, they're mostly illiterate, I think.
So they do probably have to give him a little baby school.
Yeah, I mean... I'm curious where they start him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because presumably there's like, we haven't seen a ton of kids, I mm-hmm. guess.
Yeah.
We've seen a couple. But like the main things that they would have to teach him, right, are just like how to do the jobs that the warriors do, like mm-hmm. scout. I don't know. They're like, some of them are scouts and some of them are like kind of scouts.
Right.
Everyone is kind of a scout, but only scouts are real scouts.
Or like true scouts.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, though, like it seems like that's really all they need to teach him.
Yeah. Yeah. I also love that they have no problems with taking weapons from children through force. Because they're like, oh yeah, he came with a sword and quickly lost it. He was like, yeah. Even though I was a child, like, definitely they still challenged me for that sword.
Right. Well, children shouldn't have weapons to begin with, so.
I mean, true. True.
The whole thing, the thing with Fletcher, like, generally is mm-hmm. very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, did you catch the timeline?
I mean, he's been there like a year, is that right?
Yeah, like 1 year.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
That's like, no, that's very short amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
And so, okay. And so the first note that I had that got somewhat answered later on
mm-hmm.
is going back to our friends who want to charge and execute Fletcher for incompetence. And so at first when I heard he had been there for like 1 year, I'd be like, you got to give him more on the job training before we're charging him with incompetence.
Right.
Like this, a year?
This is your fault, not his fault. Come on.
Right. And then it's kind of answered a little bit later on with like the details on Walkabout.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm going to jump into my note on.
Yeah.
On Walkabout, which I love the name, first
mm-hmm,
of all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's misleading because it's not Walkabout. It's like you have to walk in a straight line.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're not going about. You're like going that way.
Yeah. So, okay. So I love
it's more like a that-a-way rather than a Walkabout.
It's more like a that-a-way. I love the idea because like part of the like thing with the Outskirters is that you're fighting against the land, and so like you have to show that you can do it on your own.
Yeah.
I just like, I don't really, the partner thing kind of doesn't really make sense to me. Like it seems really difficult. Okay, so to describe it, right? So two people go at the same time. Mm-hmm. They're usually transitioning from childhood into adulthood, which I think they say is like at age 13 normally.
Yeah.
And so two people have to walk parallel, mm-hmm. like far enough away where they're not really interacting in any meaningful way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not supposed to interact, but if one of them is in trouble, the other one is supposed to come save them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, I don't know. That kind of just seems like, and then like, if someone comes and saves you, you fail.
Correct. Yeah.
But then also, if they don't come and save you, they are potentially incompetent and like eligible for retribution,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it just like seems like such a difficult judgment call.
Oh, you're saying if it seems like somebody needs help, do you go help them or not?
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean,
also like at a certain point, it's like, okay, well, this is just like not doing it alone, because like if you're in trouble and you need help, like that's kind of what, I don't know, like just either do it by yourself or in twos, like for real.
Okay, there's a couple of things that I think about with this. First is, it seems like when they're doing their jobs, they're sort of in this situation a lot of the time where they're like within eye shot of each other, but not like in close proximity to each other.
Right.
So this seems like it mirrors how they sort of run their tribe in a traveling situation already, right? Where they're like, you know, you have to be somewhat independent, but you can also like get help if you need it. Like you can signal for help if you need it. And also like, I think it allows them to rely on like their peers, like to know that their peers can sort of like help them out if they're in a bind, especially considering they can just do it again. Like they have to wait a little bit, but they can just try again. And so the like stakes, I think the stakes out in the outskirts are very high. If something goes wrong, there's a lot of bad shit out there, which we're going to get to at a certain point. But it also, like, if they just made them go out and do this on their own, they'd end up with a lot of dead children, which is not a good strategy, I think, for a tribe.
Right.
And so I kind of get it. I also get where you're coming from, though, where it's like, they're not really alone. But at the same time, like, I don't know.
I mean, I do appreciate your point, because I hadn't really thought of the fact that this does mirror, like, mimic quite well what they actually deal with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I had kind of pictured it as them being, like, really far away mm-hmm. from each other. So it being, like, really difficult to tell if someone needs help or not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they said they're a kilometer. Right.
Okay. And they're doing the little hand signals with each other. So, yeah.
Which also, interesting note, outskirters use kilometers and innerlanders use miles.
I know.
Got to do a little conversion. I think they're superior in a lot of ways, frankly. But anyway, they're probably using Celsius too, which I love.
I don't like it.
Anyway. Actually, forget it. They're using Kelvin.
For sure.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think you pose a very interesting question, though, within all this, which is, you are the partner of somebody who you're doing walkabout with. And you hear them make a loud sound. What do you go help? Because you're like, what if you get there and you're like, hey man, what's going on? How can I assist? What's going wrong? I'm ready to help.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, I just got startled a little bit. Now we both fucked up and we have to go back.
Right.
And it's like, ah, damn it. We need a signal. We need a signal that's like, hey, I need real help now. That's like, do you think they come up with that before they go off, or they're like, all right, here's the code word. Here's the safe word.
I'm sure that they do have a signal that's saying, like, I need help right now. But the problem is, like, in a situation in which you would need help, like, often you wouldn't be able to make the signal.
Right. Like a hand signal. You're not going to be able to make a big waving arm signal if you're being attacked by a mud lion, like happened in Fletcher's situation.
Right.
But then you need an audio signal that's like, hey, I'm in real danger now. Like, if I scream pineapple, then you know it's real.
Right. I don't know.
Because
it seems like, I forget. What's the, like, what's the goal? Is that, like, they need to be away for a certain amount of time? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time. I want to say it was like 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Okay. I feel like, because it changes depending on how far out you are, right? Like, if it's only been a couple days and I hear a scream, I'll go check on it, because, like, if we fail, it's fine. You know what I mean?
You're saying if you're so close to the end, if it comes on like the last day and they scream, yeah, you're like, it's been a pretty shitty 2 weeks.
Well, it's like, I'm a little bit more hesitant, because it's like, you know, when you're fighting a boss
mm-hmm.
in a video game,
right?
You're pretty loosey goosey at the beginning of the fight, but when that health bar is like one or two hits away, you're very cautious.
The adrenaline is going, and you're like, I'm dodge rolling this one. Let's see if they can. Let's see if they can survive. I guess so, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
But then I'm being executed for incompetence when they did need help. So
no one else is monitoring this, right?
I mean, they can't. It's like,
yeah.
And it's,
just do a little pact, maybe. Just do a little pact with your buddy who's out there. It's like, hey, look, if I come over because I hear you scream, just don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
I won't say anything.
Yeah.
We'll just make eye contact with each other. We'll just make eye contact and be like, are you good? And if you're like, yeah, I'm good, then I'll just walk back. Okay? That's the deal.
Actually, like, maybe that's fine, though. Like, if I come over and you genuinely need help and I help you, then we fail, or you fail, or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But if I come over and it was not actually an issue, then it's maybe fine.
Yeah, but then you got a situation where one of the buddies just gets a little lonely, and you see him tramp through the woods to your little fire, and he's like, oh, sorry, thought I heard something. Anyway, what are you up to?
You
want to
hang out?
What are you up to?
You got to add a day. Every time Every time you check on your buddy and he didn't need help, you add a day?
At least a day.
At least a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, walkabout's great.
Walkabout's great. Also, so Rowan's walking around one day with this tribe. And I think her name is Sithy. Brings an egg. Or maybe her friend found an egg and she gives it to her. I feel like the outskirters would be more cautious with, like, new things that they are encountering. And instead, she's like, look at this weird sack I found. And she's, like, flinging it around. And it's like, okay, sure. So Rowan investigates it. And then it turns out the next day her, like, hands are burning. And they're super itchy. And it's like, I don't know what that was. And now I'm having severe medical problems from it.
Right.
You'd think they'd have a more cautious tradition, is all I'm getting at.
In the Australia of this world, in the land where everything is trying to kill you, like, if I don't know what something is, I'm wearing gloves, at least.
Look with your eyes, not with your hands, kids. That's rule number one.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to tell kids that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, but when it's like, hey, this could literally kill you in a second.
Yeah.
This is where I feel like the tradition comes in. Because you need to have a tradition with kids where it's like, if you touch anything, then you're dead. Unless you know what it is. You know, you need to just scare them into not touching anything they don't know what it is.
Right. We need to have some healthy, like, a healthy tradition of scary stories around the campfire of children touching unknown objects.
Like one time, little Bebos picked up a weird fleshy organ thing on the ground and it folded inside out and ate him.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. Yeah. So what is the lesson, kids? Don't touch shit. That's the lesson. Very good.
Yeah.
Because... And I think Rowan is complicit in this too, because I would imagine Steer's women had training that's like, hey, if you encounter a new weird sketchy egg, there's a little bit of training. There's a little bit of things you go through before you just fully touch it.
Right. There's SOPs for weird sketchy eggs.
Yeah. And instead, she's just like tearing into this thing.
Right.
How many steerswomen just, like, drop dead on their travels because they touched some weird shit? Because they're like, oh, hey, what is this, like, weird goo that I found? Let me poke it. Oh, and I'm dead. Turns out it was super poison.
I mean, they don't travel in the outskirts that much.
Sure, but I'm sure there's weird shit on the inner lands, too.
Right, probably. Yeah.
And they're looking for the weird shit. They're like going around poking in holes, being like, any weird shit in here? Hey guys, I'm looking for the real what, you know? I'm looking for what is out there. Is any weird shit in this hole? In this cave? Under this rock?
This is true. This is true.
Their casualty numbers have gotta be through the roof for this organization.
Pretty high, yeah. I'm not seeing a ton of PPE being worn when it needs to be.
Correct. They're spending all their time learning how to memorize faces.
Right. Yeah, it's not great. I don't know. Maybe they're just like, maybe that's part of the experiment, you know?
What do you mean? See how it fucks up your body?
Yeah, like if we don't, you know, we gotta figure out what it is, and if I don't touch it with my hands, I wouldn't know that it burns my hands.
Right, it's worth it for science, is what you're saying.
Right, and you gotta experiment on yourself.
Because allergies don't exist in this world. You've got one steerswoman that's going around, and she's like, "Yeah, this thing, the locals call it a peanut, fucks you right up." It'll destroy you if you eat too many of them. And everyone's like, okay, peanuts, really, really bad for you. Don't eat peanuts.
Well, what I like about this, though, is kind of like going back to what we learned in a previous book about steerswomen being immune to certain spells.
Oh, true.
Because of their shoes is what we're assuming.
Probably, yeah.
Like, they didn't make the connection to their shoes, right? They think it's genuinely that, like, steerswomen are immune.
Uh-huh.
So you could imagine the situation which you've described, where one steerswoman is allergic to peanuts, and they come to the conclusion that steerswomen in general will die. Like, peanuts are lethal.
We have found the weakness of the steerswomen. It's peanuts. The wizards are, like, hoarding a cache of peanuts just in case they have to take out the steerswomen.
Right, right.
This
it's a good disinformation campaign.
This is actually very good. Oh, man. Yeah.
There we go. I kind of forget how we got there, but we did.
Weird eggs.
Weird eggs.
Which, probably not eggs, actually.
Probably not. Seems like a little satchel. Mm-hmm. That demons carry their salt water in, I guess.
Right, right. It's like a
their weird
battery pack or whatever. Well, it's because they're batteries. They need a salt. They need an ion transport for their batteries. So they've got
Is that what you think? Like,
no, I have no idea, honestly.
No, because it's just like salt. It's like something. It's salt water, but like with a slight, with a small twist.
The only thing I can think of is like maybe there's some sulfur in there, right?
Why you got sulfur? Just because they're demons? Because
they said it smells like there's a smell to it.
Sure.
Yeah, which is giving sulfur, some kind of sulfur compound.
Sure. Yeah, but you don't have a connection to like technology stuff.
Man,
yeah.
I don't. Well, ooh, actually though, what if this is lithium? Because like modern lithium mines are above ground pools that are evaporative.
Right.
And they evaporate the liquid to get the lithium salts to precipitate out. What if these are lithium, like lithium rich pools that these things are harvesting to create batteries?
The problem is this book seems too like old. I don't know
this was in the 2000s and lithium batteries weren't really around until like the 2010s, I want to say.
At least not on at like a meaningful level to end up in like a common book,
right? Now, Luke, I will say, if this author is a chemist, we know as chemists that lithium is like one of the best metals you can use for a battery just from its like electronegativity,
right,
on the periodic table. So like, if our author knows a little bit about chemistry, she could have predicted that lithium would be like a really effective battery mineral. Now, I agree, it's unlikely that this is, but right. I think there's a chance here.
I mean, I do think that it's like, because it's salt water, but not that kind, but not the normal kind of salt,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think that just that probably just means that it is just like a different ion, mm-hmm. than what is normally in salt right. water. So
right,
I don't. I mean, lithium's a good guess, I guess.
It's also caustic in a way, right?
Uh huh. Yeah.
So maybe it's acidic or basic. Maybe we've got a little bit of like sulfuric acid in there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. I don't know, Luke.
That's where we're at. That's the best we've got so far. I think it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was gonna transition us into. So Rowan, not great at wearing PPE, but great at sword fighting.
Oh, phenomenal.
Like crazy good, right?
we've already sort of addressed this when our trio fought a bunch of soldiers in the last book.
Right.
But I think it's even bigger here.
Yeah. She like dominates a bunch of people.
So
there's two instances, right? There's one where she gets challenged,
Jan. Yeah.
And she ends up winning because she pulls off the trick that we made fun of.
Of course.
So egg on our face.
Well, and to be fair to Rowan, she could have ended the fight a ton earlier, But she was like, ah, I don't want to kill this person, so I can't just stab right. them in these weak points.
You should be okay. No, I know. I don't allow this. If you're challenging me for this, if you're going to challenge me for my sword, I'm not like holding back.
Right. Especially when a sword can make the difference between your life or death. Like, if me having my sword means I might die in the next fight, I'm not going to hold my punches, pull my punches for you. I feel like it should be one-sided, where, like, you aren't allowed to kill the person you're trying to get the weapon from, but there is a chance that they could kill you. Because then there's, like, some stakes to it that's like, okay, I need to be sure I can win this sword from this person.
If you lose, like, there's no punishment for losing.
No.
I don't think.
No, there's no...
I need to at least, like, be able to smack you up the head with the flat of my sword at the end or something.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Does Rowan not get to have her sword?
I don't think so.
That's fucking bullshit. That's so fucked.
They have to do your chores for like a month or something.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that's just unspoken. But that is what happened.
It's a given. Okay, but anyway, so Rowan pulls off the trick and wins that sword fight. And then later, when the tribe gets attacked by another tribe of face people, qualms with the name, but that's where we are.
Yeah.
She's like, wins like so many little fights, like really easily.
Yeah, correct.
And I'm really, I don't know, Rowan, how are you so good at this?
Especially considering these are like trained warriors, right? These are people in a warrior cast who are attacking them. They have the element of like known terrain.
Right.
What? Rowan? And she's taking on like two and three at once. Like this is, like they get assaulted by like 12 of them at once.
Yeah.
Damn.
Here's my takeaway. Like, so Rowan spends most of her time doing steerswoman stuff, right? We gotta get you into like practicing more with the sword, because if you put your mind to it a little bit more, I'm thinking like greatest warrior of all time.
Luke, have we seen her lose yet?
Not really. I don't think.
I mean, that record is 100% so far.
Right. She hasn't fought Belle.
Okay, fair.
Who apparently is really good.
Okay. But like...
But...
So far, she is currently in the running already.
Yeah.
So... Damn, girl. Get it.
That's right.
Maybe you need to teach these...
It's probably the shoes.
It's... okay, I... there's one comment that... I think Chess makes. So Rowan is trying to figure out the deal with like why they don't bury their shit. And Chess is like, oh, because we want to fuck up the grass as much as we can. And Rowan's like, why? And Chess is like, because nature fucking sucks. We're doing battle here. We're trying to destroy as much of this shit as we can. And Rowan's just like, what? But don't you eat it? And she's like, no, the goats eat it, you idiot. And she's like, okay. Don't your goats eat it? And they're like, yeah, but then we just fucking leave. And the goats hate it too.
Right.
We're all just trying to destroy everything about this land. We hate it. We hate it here. Fuck nature. Nature sucks. Fuck nature.
Yeah.
First off, I love this mentality. She hit me with this and I was like, damn.
It's like so foreign.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I've literally never heard this mentality ever. and it's very funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great because it addresses my question from last episode is are the outskirters like too bad? And she's essentially saying, yeah, they fucking suck. We're trying to destroy them.
I mean,
we are at war.
To also talk about what you said last episode, like this makes this is weird mentality in a world where you can just walk to a better place pretty fairly easily.
This is my next point. This is where I'm trying to go with this, is like, why? Why are you out here? Why are you out here just like spitefully shitting on the ground because you hate the land? Like, and there's nothing in their culture that's like, we're doing this for a reason. There's nothing in their culture is like, here's why we're out here. It's just like, yeah, we're out here and we fucking hate it. It's like, okay, then don't. Then go in. Go have a nice life.
I know. And there's no like long-term goal. I mean, like they're fighting against the land, but it's not like,
oh yeah.
It's not like a coordinated effort to win the fight.
This isn't like Dune, where they're trying to collect enough water to be able to transform Arrakis into a paradise. No, they're just like, yeah, we fucking hate sand. But in this case, it's grass. It's red grass.
Right. It'd be tough to keep me out there.
What is keeping any of them out there? I don't get it. Is it just that it's too dangerous to go out on your own, and so none of them leave any of their tribes because they're like, ah, nobody else? I can't convince anyone else to, like, leave with me. And I don't want to go die out on my own in the grass, so I guess I got to stick with these idiots.
I do think that it's basically they're living for the next rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have to do more detail because we talked about it last episode, but like, there's nothing to live for other than the rendezvous, I think. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There's no goals. It's just like, in 20 years, there's going to be another rendezvous.
There's going to be a other sick than that, party.
It's like, we're just walking around.
Sorry. Walking around drinking gross cheese alcohol.
I was into the gross cheese alcohol.
This is disgusting.
I mean, yes, it's disgusting, but
gross, dude.
I don't know.
You want to try this out? Just go get some cottage cheese and mix in some vodka and go enjoy that. Enjoy that little treat.
I don't know. I don't know if I need to do that. Yeah, it's not good. The other thing I'll add is that, like, okay, so the outskirts are terrible and there's like threats everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they've gotten pretty good at the outskirts in terms of like surviving.
True. True.
And so they talk about like all the different things that are dangerous about the outskirts, and they kind of view it as like the outskirters as a group against the land, right?
Yes.
And like my qualm with this is that if we zoom out and look at it, like the main threat
correct
is other people.
Right. That's why they organize their whole tribe around like keeping watch and like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Like almost all of the deaths are fights between different tribes.
Yeah.
And like, again, I don't mean to like minimize the threat from the outskirts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, okay, you guys have clearly like gotten to the point where you can survive, not comfortably, but like, you know, you can maneuver around all of the like natural threats.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something other than occasional rendezvous about like just killing each other, because I don't get it.
Especially considering, okay, so I get that goats are their like lifeblood, like the goats are the thing that is keeping all of these people alive. They're not fighting over territory.
Right.
Like, why are we constantly fighting each other? It does not seem like any of this land is desirable. In fact, you're all constantly trying to fuck it up. So, maybe, why are we fighting? Why do we fight instantly? Why is it such a threat when we see another tribe that we, like, don't even communicate with them? This, to me, is just, like, why this, like, feels like they have been manipulated into being out here. Because I cannot find a reason for them to be doing half of this stuff. It feels like they have been set out here with a purpose, and they've forgotten the purpose. Like, it's been so long since they were given the reason that they're out there that they're just doing it now. They're just these little machines, like geo, like terraforming the outskirts, and they don't know why they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are we fighting, guys? You're really at war with each other. Like, the land part you've got figured out. Totally agree. They've sort of got it figured out. Imagine if they didn't have to have huge circles of watch around their encampments.
Paradise.
It's, I mean, not paradise, but, like, your goats are much better off. You're just chill.
Yeah.
You're not even that good of fighters because Rowan took you all on, so... Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we just gotta get together, folks.
Maybe
figure
this
out what we're doing out here.
I mean, I think this rendezvous is dangerous. And I think this rendezvous is dangerous to all of the people in the Innerlands. Because as soon as Bell's like, hey guys, we should all team up because the wizards are really the bad guys. And as soon as all the outskirters are like, oh yeah, we should all just team up. Then everybody who has land that's not horrible is going to be like in danger. Because you have like 1,000 outskirters that have all decided, yeah, we don't want to live out here anymore. And they're going to go live somewhere.
Well, okay, so this was another point of mine, because Rowan sees this collection of clans.
Yeah.
And is like astounded by the size of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 1,000 people, and that's like, that's so few. That's not a ton of people.
No. Especially considering she's been in a city before.
Yeah. They can go to the Innerlands. You know what? They could probably use you guys. Get in there.
Yeah.
There's plenty of space.
Did Rowan say this is the most people she's ever seen in one place?
Yeah, she did.
So she's never been to a parade then.
She's never been to a parade. She's never been to a football game.
Never been to a big festival. Rowan's had a pretty sad go of it, it sounds like.
This is like 1,000?
1,000 people. Also,
do you know how few 1,000 is?
Correct. Yeah. Well, but hold on, Luke. How big do you think this tribe is that Rowan's been hanging out with?
I feel like they say like 150 somewhere.
It feels like there's way less given the like people that she has identified and like where people are. Like I'm picturing like maybe 50 people in this total tribe based on how Rowan's been explaining it and like the numbers of people we've been talking about. So if it's 150, then okay, this point isn't going to make sense, but it just feels like one of these tribes has to have a ton of people to get them to 1,000.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you that we haven't like the tribe feels smaller.
Yeah.
But my guess is that she's just like, she is hanging out with a certain subset.
Okay, fair enough. She's got her cool crew that she's right. hanging out with. Yeah,
right.
Everybody
the
else
cool
is
cats.
Just NPCs. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
1,000s. Honestly, it's not enough. It's not enough for the kind of rendezvous party I was imagining.
No, no, definitely.
We gotta get these numbers up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need more folks. Actually, we don't, though. We don't need any more folks in the outskirts. These are the craziest people out there.
Go inside. You guys can... You're not even displacing anyone if you go into the Innerlands. It's fine.
It's true. It's true, Luke. It's true. Also, imagine being in a caravan. They could make a killing running caravans around.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, the system of security that they've got worked out is so tight.
Very good. Well, I mean, at signaling, not at fighting, as we've learned.
Sure. But they are ready to go.
They're ready. You know what? Fletcher's got a future. Fletcher's a star.
Yeah, true. We've got a LeBron James on our hands. He's the LeBron James of outskirters.
No, this is not going to make sense to you, but a lot of times in like college basketball or something, there will be someone who's like really tall and the announcers will be like, he just started playing basketball because he grew 17 inches his senior year of high school and decided to play basketball. And he's only been playing for 2 years and he's this good. This is Fletcher.
Yeah, okay.
This is how I'm imagining Fletcher.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. I want to get back to something that we've talked about last book and I just found more evidence of in this book.
Okay.
I think the steerswomen are bad. And the thing that happened in this book that I was like, oh, Rowan, what are you doing? She fully disarms this guy who she's fighting. Chops his sword to the point where it's no longer usable. And he is just like staring at her. He's not fighting anymore. He's just staring at her as he's like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. My sword got fucked up. And the next line is like, I put my sword between his pretty blue eyes in a spray of blood and bone. And it was just like, also, when I read that, I was like, first, okay, maybe they can't take prisoners. But then our head guy is like, do we have any prisoners yet? And they're like, no. So don't do that. Let him live. Let him surrender, Rowan. Let the boy live.
Let him surrender. Also, why would you stab him in the face?
Stab him right between the eyes? That seems like a bad place to stab somebody.
Who stabs in the face, like, when you have other options?
Great question. I think she's a little bit of a psycho. I think there's a little bit of psycho going on here.
You gotta be.
I think she sees red, she gets the bloodlust, and then things just take over. Fighting just takes over.
Right. She's a natural.
A natural killer.
Natural killer. You know what? Like, listen, Dan, if you want to be a good sword fighter, you got to be willing to do these kinds of things.
Willing to stab someone directly in their face.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's critical.
Meanwhile, her steerswoman brain is like, oh yes, in our detailed studies of anatomy, I learned that there's a small hole that goes from your nose directly into your brain, and so I could just stab this beautiful young boy right in that hole, and he'll die a gruesome death.
I love that you've made sure that this is a beautiful young boy now.
Of course.
A promising young man.
A promising young lad with beautiful blue eyes.
That's right.
She just had to ruin it.
Well, he's a face person. Maybe that's why. She's like, face people get stabbed in the face, you know?
They're asking for it. They're literally asking for it.
You shouldn't be called face people. Sorry.
Sucks to suck, I guess. On to the next one. Time for more killing.
Is it kind of rude to be like, oh, you guys... Well, I guess people are just called from where they're from at this in this world.
Yeah.
But just like face people seems, I don't know.
It does seem a little rude.
Yeah. But it's pretty, well, I mean, she's found her people, I think. Mm. Like she's got a good crew
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
Good at making friends.
Also, sounds like she's starting to make some enemies.
Yeah.
We got the wizards. We got the face people. We got the demons, I guess.
The demons are also enemies, yeah. Yeah. The little spike towers, the cactuses.
Oh yeah. So annoying, guys. Let's do something about these, please. So yeah, Rowan's making some moves out here.
Mm-hmm.
Glad that we're teaming back up with our crew.
Oh yeah, a short absence.
Short absence. And Luke, Just as Rowan and Bell had a short absence from their crew, we'll be back next week with the hot takes.
And still being dumb nerds.